You know, the fella, I don't want to be like him, he said, before I preach, I want to say something. Well, I hope I say something when I preach. You know, that's kind of the way it's intended to be. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Just going to read that one verse to launch from. And it came to pass in those days, talking about Jesus, that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night. Everybody say all night. He continued all night in prayer to God. I want to preach today about what kept Jesus up at night. What kept Jesus up at night? The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Sometimes we use a phrase, we say, well, how'd you sleep? And you say, well, I slept like a baby. That means you woke up every hour screaming and bawling. That's what that means. If you don't understand that, when you get a baby, you will. So it's not what people think it is when you say that. I think when we were taking Cherie home from the hospital, I saw on the bulletin board, something stayed with me all these years. There was a cartoon, and it was a father and a mother, and the dad's holding this baby, and his eyes are just dancing. He's so excited, and he turns to the nurse right before he leaves, and he says, "What time shall we wake the baby?" You don't have to worry about that. They have their own time clock. Amen. And it's set by nature to be totally against yours. So that just seems to be the way it is. But from the time we're babies, there are things that interfere with our sleep. And sleep is necessary. We don't understand what it does, but somehow it resets the time clock and the computer that's in us, and it refreshes us, renews us. Everything don't stop when you sleep, but it does slow down. But there are things that keep us up from the time we're babies. Things keep us up at night. And one of those things that can bother us is fear. When we're afraid of things. All of us have stories. Remember when you were a child and you were afraid of what was under the bed or in the closet, right? Amen. If you had a big brother like I did, would tell you scary, scary stories right before you went to sleep. Amen. And so fear kept me awake a lot. When I was a kid, we had this bed. It had post, you know, in front of it. And I remember as a boy, sleeping every night, I'd wrap my hands around that. And I fell asleep with my hands around those rails, just knowing that something was going to come drag me out in the middle of the night. Because my brother said it was going to. And so for years, I fell asleep with my hands wrapped around that bar. And I don't have many bars on my bed anymore, so can't do that now. But fear keeps you awake at night. And sickness and pain certainly can keep you up at night. And relationships, as you get older, relationships interfere with your sleep. That's why the Bible says, very wisely, it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Have you ever tried to go to sleep when you were mad at somebody? I mean, really mad at somebody? What happens? You don't sleep, do you? You're laying there in your bed and you're thinking, I said, and they said, and I should have said, and I'm going to say. And you don't get any sleep. Relationships interfere with your sleep. Amen. When you fall in love, it can mess up your sleep. You think about the sweet thing, you know, and you can't sleep for thinking about the sweet thing. Amen. And you're all messed up. Your clock gets all messed up. You're living on love, and you can't do that very long. You'll crash and burn. Amen. But that's just part of it. And then And then, of course, after marriage, your spouse can keep you. And you know, it's really bad. You know, you have an argument. I don't know anything about this, but I've heard people say this stuff. So, of course, this is not personal experience, but you have a little spat, you know, and you go to bed, and you know you're about to fall on the floor on one side, and she's about to fall on the floor on the other side, and you got this vast sea between you. Amen. And you, well, some of you know what that's like. I can tell. Amen. And neither one of you get any sleep, and you get up grumpy in the morning and carried into the next day. Isn't that awful? Well, that's human beings, isn't it? Amen. You get to be parents, and then, of course, babies keep you up. And then after they get through being babies, and they get tummy aches and measles and mumps, and that keeps you up. And then they get to be teenagers, and that really keeps you up. Amen. They're outside. You think, where in the world are they? What in the world are they doing? When are they ever going to get home? Amen. And so relationships messes with your sleep. Your relationship with God can mess with your sleep when things are not right. Hello? Amen. When your spirit's troubled and you know something's not right, you got something going on, and something's not right in your heart, something's not right in your spirit, and it keeps you up at night. And you don't rest, and you don't sleep, and things are not going well. Amen. But what was it that kept Jesus up at night? I know that it wasn't fear. And I know that, but it very definitely was relationships. There were things that kept him up. And I don't know how it was that first night. I don't know what it's like. I've never slept in a stable with sheep and cattle and shepherds. I don't know what that's like. That's where he started, was in a stable. So it probably got better from there, at least. When he actually got home to a house and got away from the stench of the animals and the lowing of cattle and the bleeding of sheep, maybe it was better. But that was how it all started for Jesus. And then the Bible talks about this praying all night. What was it that caused him to pray all night? It was about his ministry. Let me go to Matthew first. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 has a very, inspiring and illuminating verse. It said, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit. Everybody say, led up of the Spirit. Now that Spirit with a capital S, that means the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit led him to temptation. You think you're better than him? You're going to have temptation. You're going to walk through the wilderness. You're going to have troubles and trials. You're going to have difficulties. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. In other words, he was hungry. And it said, and when the tempter came to him, everybody said the tempter came, that's the devil, right? Listen to what he said. He said, if thou be the Son of God. Notice that. That's a question. And if you are the Son of God. If. One thing the devil always wants to do is to plant doubt in your head. That's his job. And if he can plant the doubt concerning your identity, who you are, and your relationship with God, that's what he always attacks, is your relationship with God. Amen. That's what he's after. You understand that tonight. Amen. He wants to destroy your relationship with God. So you don't ever let him do that. You let him know right front. There ain't no F to it. And no doubt here. I am a child of God. Amen. I was born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I was baptized in Jesus' name. Spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. I am a child of God. And you just need to remind Him and keep reminding yourself who you are. And so He attacked His identity. He still does that to us today. So He attacked Him. He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, He wanted Him to abuse His power to appease His physical appetites. People do that today. There are people that use their God-given talents and abilities to do nothing else than appease their flesh. And that's what He was tempting Jesus with at that time. And Jesus said to Him, I want you to notice, He said, it is written. Here's how you defeat the devil. You don't ever get strong enough spiritually to beat him up. Amen. You'll never outgrow him. He'll never just get tired and go away. But you'll always defeat him with this right here. Jesus didn't say, I'll tell you what I think. It's my opinion. He said, it is written. It is written. The devil knows it is, and he can't deal with it. He knows that the word is forever settled in heaven, and he can't come against it. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. He defeated him with the word of the Lord. So the devil takes a different tack. He takes him up, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, again, if you are the Son of God, cast thyself down. And then he tries his hand at quoting Scripture. He can never get it quite right. But he'll try. You know why he can't get it right? Because he's a liar and there's no truth in him. And the Bible's truth, so he can't quote the Word because the Word's truth. So he can never get it right. He said, it's written, he shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. There's a difference in stumbling over a stone and jumping off of a pinnacle. Huh? One's an accident. The Lord will protect you in accidents. But God is not guaranteed He'll protect you against stupidity. And against being a show-off. Huh? And against your own arrogance and desire to get attention. In other words, the Lord, he's saying to Jesus, he said, you jump off of here and you'll get lots of attention. Everybody will see you and they'll ooh and ah and you'll draw a big crowd and you'll get called to preach in big churches and you'll get good offerings and stay in nice places and eat in nice restaurants for the rest of your life. He'll call you even, but so show people how spiritual you are. Amen. That's a temptation. There are people that fall for that. There are people that fall for that. Here's the problem. If you start your ministry out on some kind of a show, you got to keep inventing a show to keep it alive. If it's founded on a show and a spectacle, and that's all it is, then you got to keep inventing that kind of an atmosphere, and you got to have a circus everywhere you go. Amen. Jesus did not found His ministry on a show or on a spectacle. He founded His ministry on the Word of the Lord. Amen. What did He say? He said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, it's a different thing. If I stumble coming down here and the Lord protects me, then that's great. That was an accident. But if I'd get up here and try to jump off this building just to say, catch me, God, see, I'll show you how great my faith is. He'll say, let me show you how great your stupidity is. And I'll wind up in the emergency room. Amen. God is not going to, He's not here to award your showmanship. But He will protect you in the time of your trouble. And then the devil one more time, and this is very enlightening to me, and he saith to him, he takes him up to this exceeding high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says to him, all these things, everybody say things, will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's what he wants, is worship. Now notice what he promises him. He said, I'm going to give you things. A lot of people sell out for things. A lot of people sell out for stuff. Amen. John, in 1 John, wasn't it, chapter 3, and he tells us that said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Amen. And he said, all that's in the world is things. That's it. So the devil has things, and he has stuff, and he gets a lot of people with trinkets when they could have treasures. Amen. But a lot of people don't want the treasure. All they can see is the stuff and the things. And they get distracted with that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And a lot of people mistake material possessions and material bounty with the anointing and blessing of God. They say, oh man, look at that ministry. Look at all the stuff. And man, they're doing good. Not necessarily. What was it the devil offered Jesus? He said, I got stuff. I'll give you stuff. I mean, I'll rain stuff on you. Sometimes we wonder, why is it that when we serve God, it seems like we struggle more than somebody that's not preaching truth? Huh? Could there be a little negative truth here? A little nugget of truth in here somewhere? The devil say, if you won't preach that, I'll give you stuff. As long as you don't get too serious about it and you stay on the periphery here, then I'll give you stuff. And somebody said, all right, I want stuff. I like stuff. But Dave Ramsey said, my name's Dave and I love stuff. Yeah, we like stuff, don't we? But you gotta get over that and not sell your soul for trinkets. Amen. I'm not preaching against stuff. Don't get me wrong here today. It's okay to have toys as long as you keep them in the right place and perspective. Amen. There's nothing wrong with diversion in certain degrees as long as you keep it in perspective. And so, but he said, I'm going to give you all this stuff. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou worship. He's the only one that's worthy to be worshipped. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the devil came to him in his weakest moment. Amen. But I'm telling you what, he kept praying. It was that prayer that kept him going. It was that prayer that gave him insight, inspiration, understanding, and strength and fortitude and integrity to stand against the onslaught of the devil. And that's what will help you, and that's what helps me. Amen. So at the beginning of his ministry, it was founded on fasting and on prayer. And then it goes a little further. Look at his, when he gets ready to start his mission, same thing. We read it to you from Luke chapter 6. Let me go first of all here to Mark chapter 1 verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, in other words at night, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus, something was eating at him. Something was moving him. Something was stirring him. It was about his mission. It was about his purpose. Amen. And he made that the passion of his life. And he knew that this is something I cannot do by myself. I've got to have help that is beyond me. And he realized that his help was in the Lord. And so he spent that time that night in prayer. And when he finished praying, his disciples found him. He said, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. He said, I came here to preach. I've got to be about my mission. I've got to be about ministry. I've got to be about the calling of God on my life. Amen. And we need that same passion today in our lives. Something that's going to drive us. Something that's more important than sleep to our eyes. Amen. That says, I've got to be about my Father's business. It was his mission that kept him awake. Luke chapter 6, we read that. The Bible said that he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was the day, he called his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. Not only was he concerned about his mission, but he was concerned about the future. Amen. Here's the important thing. I'm going to expound more on this perhaps tonight. But it's important that we not only have ministry in the present, but that we touch the future. This church is great for us, but we've got to hand it down to our children and to our grandchildren. And what got a hold of us has to get a hold of them. And the message and passion that consumes us, it's got to consume them. Amen. Somehow, we've got to pass on prayer to them, and we've got to pass on fasting to them, and we've got to kind of pass on worship to the next generation, and preaching and its importance to the next generation. It can't just stop with us. Jesus said, I'm here to preach. I've got a mission. But after I leave here, this thing's got to go on. And the future and the mission and the future, he said, that's one of the things that keeps me up at night. Amen. Paul mentioned that in the book of Acts. He's talked about all the things that happened to him. And he said, beside all of those things, he said, the burden that comes on me daily, the care of the churches. He felt responsible for the churches. I hope you feel responsible for your church today. I said, I hope you feel responsible for your church today. This is not Brother Grissom's church. Amen. This is your church. And this is Jesus Christ's church. It's my church in the part that I'm a part of it. But I don't own any more of this than you do. Amen. And I really don't have a greater responsibility to this church than you do. Hello? That's shocking, isn't it? But it's the truth. Let the pastor do it. Well, it's just as much your church as it is my church. Amen. You should pray for this church like I pray for this church. Amen. You should support this church like I support this church. Because it's your church. Amen. As long as it's somebody else's church, then you can stay on the periphery and it'll not bother you a lot. But if you let the care of it get into your heart and you let it become a part of you as you become a part of it and you take on the burden of it, then you really care about it. Amen. That's what kept Jesus up was this care. Yeah, this care. This love. This care. He had a care for ministry. He had a care for the future. And so the Bible said he named some apostles that day. I understand that there is an office of an apostle, but originally there were 12, and Jesus chose them. Amen. I'm not comfortable today with some of the titles that people may apply themselves. I guess that's between them and God, but I think that's a very great honor that I would not want to bestow upon myself. And Jesus named 12 of them. Amen. And he sent them forth and he established them. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that when we get to heaven, their names are going to be there. Those 12. I doubt seriously that some of the apostles of today, so-called, are going to have their names written on on gates. Amen. Foundations. I don't think so. Praise God, because they named themselves, but Jesus named them. And it makes it a very special. And I do believe in a mission and in a ministry of an apostle. That's what missionaries do. They are apostles. They are one sent forth to preach the gospel in a place where it's never been preached before. That's what the ministry is. And they're establishing churches in places that churches have never been. That's the ministry of an apostle, and there comes with it an appropriate anointing that God fulfills. But he named these men for the future of his church. And before he did that, it cost him some sleep. And it should cost us some sleep, but we should be concerned about the future of the church. We need to be concerned about our young people and about our Sunday school. about our Sunday school teachers. I hope you pray for the Sunday school teachers because they're touching the future of this church. They have precious children in their class that feel the love of God and hear the Word of God. And we need to pray anointing upon them in those classes so that we can continue to reach the future. Jesus was concerned about that. It was something that drove sleep from his eyes. Amen. And the Bible said he named them. And then when he came down, there was a great multitude of people that came to hear him. And the Bible said they came to be healed. And he healed them all. Everybody say all. Amen. You know what else he did? He sent forth his disciples and he said, you go heal them. And they did. They came back all excited. They said, "Woo, Jesus, the sick are healed in your name. And the devils are subject to us in your name." He said, don't be excited about that. Rejoice rather that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. He said, keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen. Don't you get distracted by side things and by spectacular things. And that's the danger of an apostolic ministry, is don't get your eyes on what men can do. Seemingly. Amen. Seemingly. Amen. God heals. It's not the man that heals. God heals. Amen. Men may take credit, but God heals. I love the story. I've told some before. Brother Barnes, God bless the great prophet. He's going to be to the Lord now. But he, when he was young, he was a contemporary of some men that became faith healers, so-called. And there's a lot of that going on. And and God anointed him and blessed him and gave him spiritual gifts. And many, many people were healed in his meetings, and he would have tent meetings, and people would come, and many, many people were healed, many people filled with the Holy Ghost, and so he was just doing what other people did. So he had this banner made, and he put over the tent, and he was admiring it. It said Barnes Healing Campaign, and God spoke to Brother Barnes and said, "Huh, who's Barnes?" He took it down, and he never put it up again. Amen. He never put it up again. He said, "I got it, Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. He was praying well, let me get off Brother Barnes and preach here a little bit. He's a great man. I admired him. But Jesus was concerned about the future. And he sent forth his disciples to do what he did. As a matter of fact, remember what he said to them. He said, the things that I do, he said, greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. In other words, he's saying, right now, I'm limited to a physical body. And my ministry is right now, it's focused just where I am and what I'm doing. He said, and then later he said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. In other words, what he's saying is right now it's headquartered in me, but very soon it's going to be in you. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something today, that wherever you are, that's where the church is. If you're on vacation, the church is wherever you are. If you're at Six Flags, the Holy Ghost is at Six Flags. If you're in Galveston, the Holy Ghost is in Galveston. Amen. Wherever you are, that's where the Holy Ghost is. Because you are the church. You're the body of Christ. And anywhere that you are, anything that Jesus did can be done there. Anywhere that you are, the gifts of the Spirit can be exercised because they are gifts of the Spirit. Amen. If we understood the power of this today, and when we get a grasp of the power of this today, we're going to have greater revival than we've ever seen and than we've ever experienced before. Amen. And so Jesus said, we're touching the future here. That kept him up. Amen. The immensity of the mission and the power of his ministry and the future of this church, it consumed him. And lastly, and I close, amen. Matthew chapter 26. He realized his hour had come. Right after, immediately following the Last Supper, we call it, the Bible said that Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he went there and he told him, he said, "Now you sit here." He said, "I'm going to go a little further and I'm going to pray." And verse 39 said he went a little further. But I said, a little further. Most of the time, victory is just a little further. Most of the time, you got to go a little further. Amen. God blessed you here, but a little further is another blessing. And a little further is another blessing. And a little further is another blessing. And so you're always moving forward. And you grow stronger. And you don't you do it in increments to you don't realize how strong you become in God. Right? Because it's, and we've likened it before, like education. And you know, when you started out with your 1 + 1 = 1, and 2, and then 2, whatever it is. You can see how good I did in math, right? When I was a kid, I fell out of the back of a pickup and hit my head right there on the math part. That's a good excuse as I can come up with. Amen. and then after you finally learned that it's 2, right? And 2 + 2 = 4. I really do know that. And then they started on your tutums, right? Tutums 1 = 2, and how you really listen. I got your attention, and you got your tutums, and then you got into division. Some people got real good at that. Amen. They love to divide stuff. And then you get into all that subtraction and look how smart you are now. Isn't that amazing? Look at these young people, how smart they look. Some of them have already graduated this year, graduated. And they're really smart. And the others are right behind them, going to graduate next year. But you remember what it was like when you started? Tough, wasn't it? But you grew. It's a little bit, you know, and school's so boring. I don't want to keep doing all this stuff. But you don't realize how smart you're getting. I know. And your parents know. They know how dumb you were when you started. No, just not really. Just uneducated. Just uneducated. You didn't know. But listen, you've been exposed to knowledge all these years, and a lot of it took. Isn't that great? So you don't realize, but the more you expose your brain to knowledge and understanding and what Paul told Timothy, he told him, he said, "I want you to apply yourself to reading." He said, "You get out there and you keep pushing forward, and you keep putting things in your mind, keep putting things in the right things." By the way, amen. You don't really need to know which movie star's divorcing who, or having whose baby, or dating who. None of that really matters. It'll change tomorrow. You can't keep up with that baloney anyway. Put worthwhile stuff in your head, stuff that really matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to quit meddling and get back to preaching. But he always went a little further. But I said a little further. Amen. Jesus always goes a little further. A little more than you. Amen. But a little bit further. Comes to his disciples and he finds them asleep. And I think there's tremendous sorrow in these words when he said, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Heaviness. Extreme, extreme, extreme heaviness. Sorrow. He said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And the second time he prayed. Came back and found them sleeping. Didn't even wake them up that time. He just left and went again. Prayed one more time. Came back. Third hour. Amen. He said, "The betrayal of the Son of Man's at hand." Amen. So that last time he spent in prayer, that last night he spent in prayer, was right before his betrayal. The last night that Jesus Christ spent on the earth, he spent in prayer. Amen. That was how he spent his last night. He didn't spend it partying. No, he didn't. He didn't party. He spent it in prayer. Amen. Not only for himself, but also for his disciples. And he prayed. Amen. So those are things that keep Jesus up at night. Amen. You know, he still stays up at night. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Amen. A friend of mine had a lot of problems pressing on him, things in the church, and he couldn't sleep. He was so concerned. And So he was telling the Lord, he said, God, he said, I can't sleep. I got all these things going on. Finally, the Lord said to him, he said, son, he said, why don't you give those things to me and you go to sleep? He said, I'm going to be up all night anyway. Amen. I'm going to be up all night anyway. So just go ahead and give it to God. Amen. Let's stand together. It's ministry. It's mission. It's destiny. It's the future of the church. These things are important. These things are vital. Amen. These things should affect us. Amen. And not perpetually, but every now and then, it should weigh on you. It should be heavy in your spirit also. Praise God. Amen. I hope that this doesn't become a flippant thing, and that all of us, young people, particularly as you're beginning your life, that you'll give a lot of thought and consideration to your mission and to your ministry and what God has for you. And let me just say this. You need to be very, very concerned about your mate and the person that you choose for your mate, because that person will have a very direct effect on your future and your ministry. If the Lord called you to a ministry, you better find somebody else got the same ministry, or your ministry will be greatly hindered. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't care how pretty they are or how handsome they are. Don't you marry a deadhead. Amen. Praise God. You get somebody that loves God and got a ministry. Somebody wants to do something for God. Somebody wants to be something for God. I'm not saying everybody's got to be a preacher. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're called to preach in ministry, you better find you a preacher. Hello? Amen. You better wait on God till He sends you a preacher. Amen. Praise God. Or you can find yourself very frustrated in life. Brother Grissom, you're telling me the truth. Thank you, sir. Amen. You're getting right down where the rubber meets the road here. Praise God. Amen. It's important. It's vital that we make the right decision, and that these things cause us great concern. Amen. Be very aware and be very passionate about your ministry and about your mission and about your destiny in life. Amen. Those are the things that ought to... You shouldn't be laying awake worrying about what you're going to wear tomorrow. If you're like me, your closet's pretty full. You even got different sizes, you know. Yeah. You won't talk about that, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't worry about it. But have a passion for these things. Sister Elsa. We'll do that. Amen. So bring her right ahead here. Amen. There's nothing greater in life with children than to give them back to the Lord.